Wake up the heart, wake up the dream. There's more to the story than what we have seen. Faith in the fire, hope in the fight. Families rising,
stepping into the light. Raising expectations,
lift your eyes, lift your voice.
Raising expectations,
faith and freedom still have a choice. Here's Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield with wisdom clear and strong. With Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer helping move the hope along. Dr. Paul Hall and Ron Greer,
standing for truth and grace.
This is your life in America today, with courage in this place. To better, best together.
Raising expectations,
faith that carries on forever.
Hey friends, it's Monday night, and that means you're with Raising Expectation, and we're so glad you tuned in. We never take for granted all of you that tune in and follow us week after week, and the things that God's doing in your life. That's where we got the name Raising Expectations. And as you know, we're people of great faith. We love God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe he's the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. And he is coming again someday just for us. In the meantime, he's working in our lives when we put our faith in him. And he's raising our expectations. And we love our country. It's great to be an American. It's great to belong and be a citizen of the United States of America. It's great to be there. So tonight we've got a great show. I know some of you have been looking forward to this because you've told me, you've texted in and said, hey, we can't wait for Mr. Schlichter to be there. And we follow him. We appreciate all that he has to say. And so it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening. Very quickly, in case you watch for the first time tonight, we're going to introduce to you our team. You know the team. They're a wonderful group of people. They blessed my life more than anybody. And I've been in the ministry now for like 56 years. So it's been a while. So on the West Coast, we have Dr. Paul Hall, and you find Dr. Paul Hall there in Lompoc, California, just above Santa Barbara. How you doing, Paul?
Good. Thanks, Joe. Good to see you.
All right. And behind him is one of those special rockets going up with space tech there. This goes up right behind him there. I love it. So anyway, he's right there where they fire those off in Vandenberg or the space. What's the actual name? Space Station.
Space Force.
That's it. Vandenberg. Yeah. It's been around. Her dad used to be there. It's awesome. So Paul is right there. And let's go together, Paul. We'll go all the way to the east part, south part of the East Coast. And there we'll find two of our great friends, Dr. Craig Thayer and Stephanie Thayer, his wife. And they're in Dalton, Georgia, but they came from California. And Stephanie is on the left, as you can see. She's a great godly woman. She is a great businesswoman. Her graduate degree is excellent, the things that she's done. And she's worked with women in very special ways, giving them common sense and helping them to find the Lord in their life and watching what he can do in her life. So she's special. But best of all, huh, Craig? She's a great mom. And we feel like we know your kids. They're part of the family. And right next to that is Dr. Craig Thayer. And Craig is he's a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. He's also an author. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, for a moment to turn to our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there you'll find all about the guys and gals on the show and the guests that we have with us. You can follow along there, read about them a little bit so you get to know them more. I'll introduce them, but you'll get to know them as you do during the week and the different things that we do. So you want to get on that site and read. You also find the books that we talked about there, Craig's book. My book is there too, Legitimate Faith. What does that really mean? Zig Ziglar said, write it, Joe. I did, and it's been a real blessing. And just under there really is Craig's book, Saved. And I love it, too. It's the trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. Finding God in the ordinary. And God's working there in the ordinary. Sometimes you might miss it if you're not watching for him. His book is a powerful read. It's a good read. It makes you feel right at home with Dr. Craig. So you'll want to go there. And so if you check that out, that's, again, there on the East Coast. They're in Georgia. And they're taking care of the South. And then if you come back to the West, to the middle of the great state of Texas. We call South America the great state of Texas.
South America, no. America.
Yes, that's right. In McKinney, Texas. We love it right there. You're going to find Pastor Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas. And he's a great brother in the Lord. I tell you what, he's been a great pastor, done so many things in his life. And there's just so much he has to share helping guys. He works with Man in the Mirror there in Florida, but actually he has a lot of it in the state of Texas. And he helps guys to get a hold of their life. Hey, what's going on in my life? I don't understand it all, but he says God doesn't help him to get insight on that. He's just a great brother in Christ. And so it's a wonderful team. And before we go any further, the greatest part of this team is my new wife as of about 6 months ago. And close, huh?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Melba. And I went down to Texas and found her and brought her home with me. So we just have a great time. And now she's on the wall right there behind me. As you see, follow the bouncing finger. And she's right there in our little study till we get it put together. More. So we're just glad you're with us all tonight, and wherever you are, you're in our prayers, and we're excited that you're with us because we've got a great show. Tonight, we have, as you know, Kurt Schlichter. There are so many things that could be said about Kurt Schlichter. I'm not even going to read the things I've written, but you're just going to take you through a few pictures. You're going to recognize him. He's a man that helps the nation, and by helping people to understand who they are, what they are. He's a great speaker there at CPAC. Watched him there. He is an attorney at law. He is also a colonel in the United States Army, was a retired colonel. Now we'll have to fill me in on that. Here's his wonderful family a few years ago. They're just a real blessing to see how they become a great team. I think I can see his son smile on him already. Can't you guys? I think it's really neat to see that. But with his family moving right along, he has some great books out that you're going to want to check. Just check there. His latest book, we'll have him share some of this with us later, American Apocalypse, the Second American Civil War, Kurt Schlichter. Heard him say a few things about this before, and it's really going to be awesome. He'll share some of that. So he's the author also of People's Republic series, and a lot of you do follow and read that. And we just have a lot of people that respect him and who he is and what he stands for. And I think really, all of us are going to want to say a few things and open it up to you a moment here, Kurt, and just let you share. But I just came up with this thought, what's going on in our nation today? Everywhere we look, we're just praying. We're excited about what's going on and what God can do. And I know the guys and the gals have some great things to share with you. So, Kurt, we want you to feel right at home. We're going to give you that world-renowned, universally famous greeting that we give. A round of applause. Kurt, welcome to Raising Expectations again. You are a blessing to all of us.
You got it right.
That's right.
Wow. If I'm a blessing, man, I think the blessing standards dropped pretty low.
No.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Always nice to come on with you. I know it got delayed. We were going to do it in April. Something came up. And I basically organized my life around making sure July 20th was clear for you.
So. Bless you.
Hey.
See, that's what I mean. That's the character. That's what we all need in America. You represent it and live it. Live it with your life. Yeah, with so many
things, more or less.
Yeah, more or less. Hey, I'm just going to throw a thought out to you and let it bounce it around. It may go in different directions because we just want to learn from you tonight. What's all the things going on in our nation today? Where would you start just to give some insight on that for all of us? And we're all right here with you.
Look, I'm an optimist. Donald Trump is doing incredible things to change a lot of stuff we were told couldn't be changed.
Yes.
We were told you can't change illegal alien invasions. You can't change that criminals are running rampant. You can't change the 7th century pagan savages in Iran.
Yeah.
You've got to put up with evil monsters murdering Jews in Israel. You can't do anything. You're racist, sexist, transphobic, all that stuff. And you can't do anything about that. And one of the beautiful things I think about Donald Trump is he ignores being told what he can and can't do because the American people have.
Yeah.
And the American people, everyone says, everyone's following Donald Trump. Well, you know, there's a difference between following and somebody running out into the front. Donald Trump recognized that the American people thought there was something wrong with their country and that it needed fixed. I think he's a fascinating guy. He's an avatar of the American people and their desire to get the country back to what it was when we all grew up. And I think one of the most interesting things, and I, you know, look, I mean, you're a pastor. You can tell me better than I can, is the way he's changed as a man of faith.
Yes.
Because frankly, I'm not, there are a lot of people who are like, oh yeah, I'm Christian, but that's, you know, Sunday maybe, or maybe just Christmas and Easter. He's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, we came a millimeter from him having his head blown off. Sadly, another man was murdered in that same incident. And I think, and I've talked to people who know him a lot better than I have. I've never actually met him in person. I've been close to him, but I've never talked to him. But they say he's changed, and he has now. He's now. I'm not sure he's the same kind of Christian that you folks are, but he's going in the right direction. And I think that's one of the most interesting things about it.
Man, yeah. Somebody just feel free. Let's round robin. Who's got an idea on that? I love it.
I got a question.
Sure.
Go, Ron.
A little off the subject, but tell us about your new book.
Well, the new book... There's the American Apocalypse. I had the ninth Kelly Turnbull come out, which is Panama Red. I am currently writing the 10th, which is kind of a miracle. But I have a new book called American Warlord coming out in November. It's the first in a series where a regular, ordinary guy who happens to know a lot of Roman history, and he's a church-going guy, and I made sure he was. Because I thought that was something that doesn't get talked about among Americans the way it should. He uses his knowledge and his background to basically save civilization, and it's going to be a 3-book series, and it's being published by Passage Press, which is a new conservative imprint for fiction. It's very, you can't get fiction published by traditional publishers anymore. That's why I use Amazon for Kelly Turnbull. You just, and The Attack and American Apocalypse. You cannot do it. It's run by liberal wine women who have no idea what men are or what men want. And if they did, they would think it was bad.
But tell us how you really feel. I mean, that's a clear. Not really.
Exactly, man.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I wanted to get that in because I saw the announcement and
well, I appreciate it. ABC, always be closing. You know, it's so funny. I'll get on Twitter, right? And I'll say, hey, you know, my new book's coming out. And people will go, oh, he's trying to sell your books. Yes. Yes. I would like people to go and give me money for my books. They're going to have a good time. I don't feel bad about it. I'm not stealing from anybody. I put a lot of work into them, and I'm proud of them. If it wasn't good, I wouldn't put it out. I've started a few books that weren't, that I didn't want to put my name on and say, spend your hard-earned money on these. So they're... You know, there's, you know, a chapter or two sitting on my computer. I would like to sell a lot. I'd like to sell millions of books. I'd like them to become movies or TV series.
Yes.
Though my Hollywood friends, that's one of the advantages of living in SoCal. He's a producer, booked it out and said, well, to do People's Republic right, you need $40 or $50 million for a series. That's not that much, actually. I didn't know that, but he tells me.
Wow.
So, but I do think there. I do think we need. Look, we need to participate in this culture.
Yes,
and we need to do it in a way that's consistent with our values. There were a lot of particularly religious companies out there making movies and making shows. Some of them are not very good. Some of them are far too preachy for my tastes. I subscribe to the, if you want to send a message, use Western Union. but where's the visibility of normal folks? Now, I don't put myself in that category. I'm kind of a weirdo. But, you know, a lot of Americans go to church every Sunday. A lot of Americans don't have, you know, unnecessary drama in their lives. Everybody has drama in their lives. But a lot of people, yeah, and they don't get represented, right? We don't see, there are not, if you guys watch TV, if I watch TV, we're not going to see a lot of people who reflect us. Every once in a while we do. I think Project Hail Mary was interesting. They had a very flawed hero, but he worked hard and thought his way through problems and was definitely an imperfect guy, but, you know, that's part of the message. That's one of the other things that bothers me. I know I'm talking more about Christianity than I do typically in a show, but I think you guys will appreciate it. I am so tired of people who don't understand Christianity talking about it. Now, look, I'm no theologian, but I know that, you know, Christianity is you do enough good deeds and Jesus will let you into heaven. Okay, that's not quite good. No. No. People don't know this. People don't because, you know, a lot of people grow up without any exposure. They don't understand what it's about or why it's about. Why does a surgeon, you know, why does a man of science believe in God? How is that possible? They have no conception. Now, I think as a man of science, you have to believe in God, but, you know, that's just me. So anyway, those are kind of my random thoughts. I'm trying to work with the audience. Also keeping it PG.
I get an interesting comment quite a bit that's that I'm very religious. I get that comment and I'll say, oh, what do you mean by that? And normally people cannot formulate what they mean. They just are like, oh, you're really into rules. And, you know, I say, no, not at all. I have a relationship with God, you know. So kind of to your point, there's a lot of, I think, preconceived notions of what a faith-based person is. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that say they're Christian. That means absolutely nothing because they've never read their Bible at all, right? And there are a lot of good people in this nation that are not represented. And I think that you're seeing some of that in the box office, like all the Marvel in DC, the last one's bombed, like they're adding, you know, all these controversial and weird figures and people are rejecting it. So I'm super curious how Hollywood will respond because we are saying no, thank you. So they are going to have to do something different.
Well, I think you're absolutely
right there. First of all, they're leaving money on the table, but I used to think that was going to inspire them. All they cared about is money. No, no, no. They care about social cachet much more. And I wouldn't believe it. I'm a lawyer, man, or was. I believe in money. But that doesn't drive everything I do. I mean, I wouldn't have joined the army if I wanted money. I would like to see. You know, I think that's interesting. You're very religious. Well, what's that mean? I don't see myself as very religious, but I read a chapter of the Bible every day. I just got through Revelations, which I'm still trying to figure out. And I'm into, I just finished with about five chapters into Genesis. So Noah just landed his ark and everybody got out. So that's where I am. I got about 3.5 years until I start the cycle again. You know, and I pray, but I don't see myself as super religious.
I don't either, actually.
It doesn't drive me crazy, so I don't go every Sunday.
My response to the religious when I get people going is I'm not religious either. That's a man-made construct, right? Like there's so much value of being in community and doing church, but you need to get in the word and read it because people just don't understand.
No, they don't understand. And it's, you know, I think it would do them good. I mean, there's just a lot of people. I think a lot of people need some guidance. A lot of people need something more in their lives. It's tremendous. You know, I have a lot of people in L.A., professionals, who think they're beyond that whole God thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And not all of them, but a lot of them are deeply unhappy people. And they're obviously missing something. And I look at lunatics who are worshiping climate change, worshiping Gaia, the nature goddess or whatever, or buying into this hideous trans stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We're falling for someone who's, I mean, just a blasphemous demon like Tallarico. Yeah, I mean, you start listening to Tallarico, man. I'm no expert, but I'm thinking you're on the road down if you follow his stuff, because that's some heretic stuff. They're trying to fill up that place where faith should be, faith, family, and the flag. There's nothing there, so they know, as human beings, they know instinctively there's something missing, so they fill it up with nonsense.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah. Worse than that, Tallarico said that, the dude seriously disturbs me. He's saying evil stuff. And there are people out there, maybe God is non-binary. Maybe God loves abortion. Yeah. I mean, like, again, not an expert on the Bible, but I do remember reading some stuff about false prophets.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and I think
weird how the Bible's always right.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
No, I think God knew us in the womb, right? So
we were
knitted in before we were even born. Yep. That relationship.
Yeah.
So and for your point on Tallarico, for the people listening, Joe Rogan interview, first 15 minutes will give you everything you need to know.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's just evil. And I hope the Texans... putting a blasphemous imp who hates everything Texans are about as the Senate candidate for Texans, perhaps not the idea, not the strategy I would have gone with. They wouldn't teach me that at the war college.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him reject. I'm just concerned that there are people who are going to buy into his stuff.
Yeah, I cannot tell you what
fall into that.
Yeah,
serious bad stuff. It's not even. It's, you know, it's funny, but it's also horrifying.
It's scary, Ron. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the more frightening thing is that Ken Paxton only leads him by 1% still. And he's raised 10 times more money than Ken Paxton. That's how close the race is. Tell you how crazy
I think Paxton's going to take it because I have faith in the common sense of Texans, and I don't have a lot of faith in pollsters.
Yes.
Caxton's also a canny guy. I think he's going to do a lot with a little money.
Yes.
And he'll get the money he needs because the Republicans are flush. And what I hear is, well, Paxton's done this, 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 and that. Yeah? Okay. Okay. All right. You see me reaching down to grab a stone?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I'm not excusing any of it. It's not for me to excuse or not. It's for him to get right about it. And, you know, I hope he does. But I'm more concerned with me making sure I'm getting right.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing I have control of. But I think at the end of the day, am I going to get somebody who's actually, you know, preaching Satan's gospel? And I don't think I'm exaggerating that.
No.
Not at all.
Over a guy who's, I'm imperfect. I've screwed up a lot. Though not as much as people say. But at the end of the day, I know right from wrong, and I'm going to do my job to try and make the right thing happen. So I'll take the guy who's trying to be doing the right thing.
Absolutely. I'll take that.
Me too. Yeah.
But I'm like you. I think he'll pull it out, just given the people I know. But my major concern is how few people in the church actually vote and get engaged.
Yep.
The second thing on my list is how absolutely clueless most are until the very last minute before they vote. And they look for someone to tell them who to vote for. And unfortunately, toward the end, they hear less than honest and less than intelligent voices. Not just here, all over the country. You go, how in the world can some of the people actually be viable candidates if you have people who are intelligent and informed, actually engaged and involved? It's mind-boggling to me that you have absolutely, well, your target in Maine, the guy
that
who,
guy.
I would never lie to the people. You know, I write my own songs and.
Oh my gosh. I mean.
How can you be a Bible candidate?
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, you have somebody up there. Look, there's two kinds of trans people. There are people with gender dysphoria, which is an illness, a real mental illness, causes people tremendous pain and makes them act out in self-destructive ways. And then there's perverts. I don't know where this person falls, but this person struck me as disturbed. And to put them on there and to showcase it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wrote a very tough town hall column about it. And I'm not excusing it.
I don't think it was tough.
It was mortifying and, you know, and embarrassing. Look at the news media, right?
Yeah.
They're the brave truth tellers, right? They're going to step on. They don't care whose toes they step on. But if it's a man wearing high heels, they're not stepping on those toes. That's the first question. You get a guy up there in a dress who's obviously a linebacker.
Right. Yeah.
The first question is, why should Americans vote for you if you're convinced you're a woman when you're a man? That is the most obvious question, and it's not hateful. It's obvious. Exactly. I don't think sick people deserve hate. I think sick people deserve compassion up to the point they do something that they know is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, it just says something terrible that folks, the people who have appointed themselves the truth tellers are afraid to do it. I mean, do they not teach the Emperor's New Clothes in school anymore? They probably don't.
No, they don't. Trust me, I looked.
I think so.
They don't.
They don't really. I read that one to my kids. It's so good.
The, it's farm, brilliant. Farm. What you call farm in there anymore? In the libraries anymore either. Animal Farm's not there. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
They made Animal Farm into a critique of capitalism. It's like, how do you completely miss the point?
Exactly.
Right. It's like saying, Casablanca's about how the Nazis were, doing a great job policing Morocco. No, that's not it.
It's not the story.
The Great Escape about some dedicated Germans keeping a bunch of Allied prisoners in jail. No, that's not it. Okay, the bridge over River Kwai. It was not an objective.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, sorry. Oh, man.
Oh, gracious. Well, one other, we kind of on that same, give me your take on the rise of DSA, the Democratic Socialist of America.
I think it's interesting that you now have, here's the funny thing. The Democrat Party is at the socialist point now, and they call it, the ones who call themselves socialists are like outright communists.
Yeah.
So they're like one behind.
Yeah.
There is not a lick of difference. I think the difference is immaterial, and a lot of it has to do with hating Jews between the socialists and the regular Democrats. I mean, half of them voted to abandon Israel to be murdered by the same people who did October 7th, and they did that.
Yeah.
Half the Democrats did that. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Again, not a theologian, but betting against the chosen people is probably a bad bet.
Yeah, not a good
see a lot
one.
Of Romans running around.
Yes.
A lot of Nazis. No, their enemies don't seem to prevail. Just putting that out there. But
what about Netanyahu coming to with what the mayor of New York is saying about taking him out and arresting him there?
Who is the police officer in New York who wants to die for this performance art? Because the diplomatic security guys and the Mossad guys will kill him.
Yeah,
if you can kill anybody who's trying to take this guy,
absolutely.
I mean, it'll be a shootout. That's not going
exactly.
to happen. It's boot bait for the Bubbas. It's just
nonsense. Yeah,
it's nonsense. The thing is, I think this plays well in districts that are already deep blue, and cities that are deep blue. Like California's got a communist mayor being challenged by an even more communist candidate.
Yeah.
But. I don't think it sells in normal places. It didn't sell in Maine.
No.
You know, I mean, it took a little, Nazi tattoo, who hasn't?
Yeah.
Antics in the outhouse, Rape. All right. Rape's a crime too far.
Yeah, we're good out.
Took a while.
Yeah, where were you?
Yeah. I mean, he lost me at Nazi, but and you know, he should like me. My last name's Schlichter.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, it's just awful. And I don't think the American people are down with all their nonsense. Oh, we should get rid of jails.
I heard that today.
And frankly, you know, if you stop enforcing laws, the deal is, okay, we'll give up our right to go enforce laws ourselves or enforce order ourselves. Yeah. We'll have a process where people can be, you know, go through a judicial process before they're punished and where the government will take over that duty. If you don't want to do that, there's an alternative. You're not going to like it.
Exactly.
And you know the old West. They caught you stealing horses.
That's it.
I mean, but what's the alternative? Do any of us, are any of us going to go, well, guess we just got to be murdered?
Yeah, right. That's right.
I got a 12-gauge solution to that problem.
Yes, right. 12-gauge.
And I ain't going to leave enough for our trauma surgeon there to take care of.
And it ain't going to be a banana either.
No. I don't want to hurt anybody, but no. I'm not going to let me and mine and innocent
That's
people
right.
be tormented. That's not acceptable. Meaning I won't accept it. Meaning the American people won't accept it. I think the socialist people are going to take these guys down a road. The problem is they have confused their communist ideology with a religious faith. They are defending it in a way that religious fanatics, as opposed to normal religious people, deal with dissent. They want to burn the heretics. If you don't agree that a man can become a woman and become pregnant, you're not just wrong. You are evil, and they have to hate you, and maybe they'll hurt you if they can.
Again,
it's that filling up the space. You know, socialism is a ideology of disturbed people allowing their evil impulses like hate and envy to run rampant. It is the opposite of Christianity.
Yes.
But, you know, as Christians, we're challenged by the world. And that's another challenge we got to meet. And if they want to meet at the ballot box, that's cool. And if they want to meet it on a battlefield, you know, okay.
I know it's kind of a hard call right now, but we've all been talking somewhat too about Iran, and so many guys have been speaking about how our president has done. In fact, you might have seen the video today that started with George W. Bush, GW, and then with Obama, and then with our next president, Mr. Biden. And they talked about how someday they're going to have to deal. We will never let them have a nuclear bomb. And we will have to have boots on the ground in Iran. All three said it. And yet nobody's ever done anything. So this president has stood up there. So we kind of wonder as we look at that. But what do you think? And again, with your background as a colonel, right, in the Army? And the men that you trained and everything you taught at the War College there. And give us kind of an overview, if you would, as we think about this on our outward front.
I think in a lot of ways, the Iran conflict has been, has shown, and I don't want to come across as like a guy who's like, I love everything about Trump. I like a lot of things about Trump.
Right.
But he's done a spectacular job of leveraging the elements of national power. Let me tell you what those are. There are various ways to look at it, but the best one, I think, and simplest is DIME, D-I-M-E, the lever, diplomatic, information power, military, and economic. And a lot of people will lean on the military, the M, right? And he's using that, but he doesn't always use it. He doesn't only use it. Right. Let's look at D. This is a guy who's got the Gulf Cooperation Council, the Arabs, fighting against the same enemy on the same side as Israel.
Yes.
Get that three. I mean, boom!
Huge. Right? Unbelievable. Yeah.
Information-wise, that's about using messaging and influence to get people to do what you want. Yeah, that's the main one the Iranians have because they don't have a lot of firepower left.
Right.
But who's a better information operator than Donald Trump?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's sending messages like, well, I gave you a chance with the MOU, which I thought went too easy on him. But he probably thought that, too, and realized they'd screw up. And now he's like, they're asking, you know, can we talk again? He's like, nah, I'm going to pound on you for a while. I'm going to use the M for a while. All at the same time, the E's happening, the economic with strangling their oil, strangling the money that they've got squirreled away all over the country or over the globe.
All the world.
Trump is really using all these elements of national power to achieve the strategic objective. Now, the strategic objective is not spoken aloud. We hear military objectives, degrade the nukes, degrade the missiles, degrade their ability to support proxies. Right. We don't hear the strategic goal is to change the government so that it because that solves all the problem. Now, regime change has gotten a bad name, although history shows that most wars are about regime change. You know, Romans march in, kill the leader, put his, 12-year-old nephew on the throne as a puppet. Regime change. That's the usual way of doing things. Yeah. And frankly, I think this is going to end up with some Iranian general, not of the IRGC, but of the regular army, becoming a strong man in Iran who's not going to support the Houthis, the Hamas, and the Hezbollah guys, and he's not going to shoot at people in the water, and he's not going to try and build a bomb, who just wants to get rich and thieve, and we'll generally do what we say, like the president of Cuba, Colombia. Cuba's going to happen too. Where
Next one.
Go short on Cuba. You know, Marco Rubio's going to get his 87th job being the viceroy.
Hey, Kurt, on that subject of Iran and Trump's strategy, the other question I have for our two friends in the cabinet who I sometimes lose my brain and call them and try to figure out what the heck does he think he's thinking about? But one of the things that I was assured of is that don't think of this as a checkers game, Ron. Think of the chess match.
Yes.
And he asked me the question. He says, if Iran is crippled economically and oil, he says, who is impacted by that most outside of Iran? That's also it. So give me your take on that.
We are putting our hands around China's neck.
Mm.
Venezuela.
Yes.
That was important. All of this is to completely reset the strategic chessboard, the giant risk game board of the world for the last 50 years. We are changing it. It's all related. Moving out of NATO or de-emphasizing NATO, re-emphasizing the Pacific. Russia's kind of getting pushed to the side. We're helping the Ukrainians, who are doing an incredible job. I trained Ukrainians. They're tough guys, but they're smart guys, too. Russia's having a lot of problems. It's getting sidelined as a threat. Yeah. And I would not be – and at some point, they'll be sidelined enough where you come to them with an offer saying you want back in the club. Yeah, be our friend. Be our friend, and you're welcome. At which point, they jump at it. In a way that doesn't humiliate them, but
– Right, right.
Because you know, you have to deal with that stuff. That's diplomatic there.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is about setting the board against China. And you are you're very astute catching the oil thing. The oil goes from Iran goes to China. We now control who gets oil. China gets oil if and when we say so.
Right.
And they've got stockpiles, but stockpiles burn down.
Right. So that's how many millions of people? Quickly.
Yeah. Right. I would rather be, look, the correlation of forces, as the communists used to say, is in our favor if we hold steady, if we stay strong, and if we're clear-eyed and tough.
Amen. Amen. Well, I agree heartily.
That's it. Yeah.
So one of the other connected individuals is and the Maduro arrest. That was another one people were freaking out about. He goes, just stop and don't panic. It's a chess game. It's a 3D chess game. And it's the same thing there. Minerals, oil, who's the biggest purchaser there? Who controls it all? You go China.
Yep.
You go to Iran. The Silk Road running through. They own the ports. They get oil from there. Who's the biggest person being hurt? Biggest, China. So you're absolutely right. Just completely, like no one else has ever done before.
Right.
Strategically position them and trap them. And I love the whole idea. It just frustrates me not hearing it up front. But that's strategic too, and it's smarter.
I don't think the left wants to, or the Democrats and the media want to accept that Donald Trump's not a complete idiot, and he doesn't have a complete idiotic cabinet.
Yeah, don't tell him.
You know, the first administration had its share of troubles because, you know, Trump didn't know anybody in Washington. He was listening to the wrong people.
Yeah, amen.
He came down the escalator over 11 years ago.
Yes.
He's learned. He was never a stupid guy. They desperately want him to be dumb. Desperately.
Yes.
And he's not. And they desperately want conservatives to be dumb. It's important to their self-image. But they're not. There is a plan here. And it is slowly but surely moving forward. And here's the fun part. We're not even half over with this round. And then the next year, our next term, we may very well have J.D. Vance or maybe Marco Rubio. I think it'll be Vance. Yeah. And Vance will go up against some leftist lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And and by then the Trump economy is going to be roaring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to do very well. I was just writing a column for later this week on that for Town Hall. There are a lot of landmines they have. Among the landmines include the fact that Democrats just aren't having kids.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot more conservatives, but people who have families tend to become more conservative. Not here in LA, but normally. But look what happens to two of our biggest problem children. We have the unionized teacher monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
As there are fewer kids, there's going to be fewer of them. Fewer worker bees, less money. And colleges, which are like petri dishes to grow communism.
Yes.
A quarter of colleges are going to go bankrupt, both through mismanagement because of new technology, cost, but also there just ain't enough kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids today are saying, you know, maybe I don't want to spend $250,000 on my, gender inclusive basket weaving degree.
Yes.
Maybe I want to learn to be a welder and be making 90 grand when I'm 23.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
True.
My wife just retired as a guidance counselor after 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And she spent the last, I don't know, 12, 15 years, one of the trends among them is convincing kids that, hey, you're not college material. You can make a lot more money and a lot more skillful doing the skills. And here in Frisco, Texas, the school system she worked in, they actually have an entire building that's all geared toward auto mechanics, computer programming, all the trades that doesn't require to go to college, whereby you can still make $90,000-$100,000. And now the next school system over is actually doing the same thing in this big multi-million-dollar place they've built. So, yeah, that message is getting out there.
You know, I'm one of those guys. Look, I got 3 degrees. I went straight into college. On paper, I look pretty good. And then my water heater blew up. I've been doing a lot of work. I've been doing a lot of work in the Texas house and the LA house to repair problems from leaks. So I've got, I'm working with contractors. These guys are brilliant. I mean, look at the work behind me. I mean, that's great stuff.
Right.
And it's I can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, in what universe do I imagine I'm somehow better in any way? I'm probably a better lawyer than my contractor. But you know, if everything falls apart, the guy who can build something's got an edge over me. I can argue about it. I don't think, look, everybody isn't college material because everybody shouldn't be inclined, everybody shouldn't be expected to be inclined to do the things that college prepares you to do.
Yes. Amen.
And I was so, they were talking about some politician, I forget who it was, or maybe it was a media person. It was some, you know, one of these, you know, elite types. Right. It was talking about Mark Wayne Mullen, his new DHS secretary, and said, I can't believe a plumber is, head of this. Now, put aside the whole party of the working man thing. I guess that's out the window.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
A guy who is a plumber somehow can't be participate in his own government? What about our democracy? Keep hearing about that.
Right. Good point.
You know, should it be a small elite of people who think exactly like you with all your weird prejudices and bizarre obsessions? I vote no.
Absolutely.
I think we need more plumbers. I think we need a few lawyers in Congress, but I don't think we need 30% lawyers.
No.
Just lawyers always want to be the center of attention. Like, hey. There's a lot of a snob factor that's actually unearned. Because I've had, I was an Army guy. I had a chance to, unlike a lot of other folks who became lawyers, I had a chance to work with people who did hard things, hard physical things. And I forced myself into that environment. I somehow survived. How can you walk away thinking you're better in some sort of cosmic sense?
Right.
I have certain skills. I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm better than the guy who laid the tile in my upstairs bedroom. It's fantastic. It's amazing. I sit and look at it and I go, I can't do that.
That's
so
right.
How again do I become better than this guy? Very intelligent guy, too.
Right.
Long conversations with him.
Yeah,
it's just,
I'm reminded
I think America
of,
used to be a country that rejected being a snob.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
And I think, credentials are nice. Look, I want a very well-credentialed trauma surgeon.
There you
not going to lie.
Yes.
But I also want a well-credentialed guy who does tile.
Right.
I want a guy who's good at what he's chosen to do. And all work that's not a crime is honorable.
It is honorable, yes.
I watch the guys doing the garbage men. That's a hard job. They sweat a lot more than I'd ever have since I got out of the Army. Are they disreputable? Do they deserve our contempt?
Right.
That doesn't reflect on them. That reflects on the people who would look down on them.
Amen.
I like
Amen.
To look at our country from the colonial days, even all the way to the Great Westward Drive, all those things that happened. When you think about everybody in the towns needed everybody else.
Yeah.
The doctor was there for everybody, like you said, but man, they all needed to help everybody. Now everybody, we're so transient in this traveling society today. I know it's pretty hard to get those close neighborhoods, especially in California, unless you want to buy a garage to live in. But other than that, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, I think we definitely lost some of the America we grew up in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all bad. I mean, I like new technology. People talk bad about their phones. If you're not on the phone 24/7, it's an amazing instrument. People talk about AI. I love AI. It helps me do all my jobs. I can I write my article today. I needed a few facts. AI direct me where I need to look. It's very good doing things I could do, but it does it faster and has some ideas I don't have. But I do think, we're missing stuff like the Emperor's New Clothes, nursery rhymes, kids had their own little sayings and jokes. Yeah. I don't think kids have those anymore. I mean, they're not all, pristine.
Right.
Some of them are guy ones.
But they come up with some like six, seven going.
I'm glad to see they're doing that because they've got to have their own things.
Right.
But I want them to have something. I want them to create a world of their own that they can look back on like we're able to look back on ours.
Amen.
Amen. And I think we've lost some of it. But you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things change.
It's coming from different parts of the nation, too. It's fun to see where everybody comes together on a lot of those things that make us Americans, what their background might be. A lot of us have lived in different states. And, you know, you lived in the Bay Area, right?
Yes, I grew up in San Mateo.
San Mateo, that's right. Yeah. That's
and it was great, man. I had a whole canyon behind me. I could go hiking and stuff. There was no crime where I was.
Yeah.
I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but, you know, you get out on Seneca Lane and you ride your bike with the other kids.
Yeah.
And there was our set of kids, and two blocks over, there's another set of kids. And I mean, and you look back on it and, you know, I think I watched a lot of TV too. I mean, I watched a lot of, you know, Star Trek and cartoons and stuff. It wasn't, you know, they're like, kids today, all they do is play video games. Well, you know, there's a reason we can all laugh at, you know, Jan Brady going, Marsha, 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 because we all watch TV, all right? We weren't always out there in the sun.
Right.
But I think in a lot of ways, I mean, I think I read more books than kids today do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing what I tell my grandkids is that, you know, yeah, we watch TV, but it went off at a certain time. And it wasn't available at 1 o'clock in the morning going, well, you did the same thing. That's like, no, oh, it just wasn't available at the service. It
wasn't quite the same.
News goes off, you're done.
And you know, unless you had cable and you had Cinemax, you weren't getting a lot of the stuff that you get today. I mean, I got a pretty strong stomach. I don't mind more adult themed material, but some of the stuff is just, you know, you just watch it. Oh. I don't want to see this. It's just sadist.
No.
Yeah.
And there are shows that I've been watching, and they were definitely for adults, and they just got brutal and ugly and pointless. Yeah. And I was like, again, I'm not weak. I'm not a sissy. I just don't want it in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't have to have
and you
it.
Ask why. I mean, why was it necessary to go to that length?
Yeah. And again, I Night of Living Dead is one of my favorite scary movies. Not a movie for kids, although I watched it when I was a kid. There's also something to be said for, you know, pushing the rules a little. Not too much, but
sneaking
a little.
In.
But, you know. But
which one?
I don't want to see sadism. I don't want to see unnecessary brutality. If you're watching Schindler's List, you need to have brutality.
Yeah.
You need to see what our enemies do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And what they're still doing on October 7th. Mm-hmm. And you know, and if you get right down to it, you know, you see a lot of people complain about Israel. I'll complain about Israel. I think they went too easy on the.
Yeah, there you go.
I wouldn't have. It would have been a lot tougher.
Thank you.
But yeah, that's right. I know.
I think I'll be honest with you then. There's sometimes I think Netanyahu is and Israel is a dumb. Why do you let people in other parts of the world who have no interest and no consequences dictate to you how you protect your country? It's the most insane thing to me.
I agree. The way to win a war is to win it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you win it by breaking the enemy.
Absolutely.
Incidentally, you'll save more lives in the long run. I'm not concerned with their lives. That's their problem. I see no moral obligation to be more concerned with the lives of Palestinians than Palestinians are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't want to hurt anybody. I've never had to kill anybody in the army. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Yeah. I would have if I had to. I'll shoot somebody if they're breaking in my house if I need to.
Right.
But I don't want to. I don't enjoy hurting people. But I enjoy my people being hurt by bad people much, much less.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to tolerate it. The idea that Christians are pushovers, you didn't hear the Crusades, did you? You know, I don't want to mess with us. Saddam. Right. And then we'll be your friends, which is the other thing. When I served in Kosovo, for instance, the people who loved us most were the largely Muslim Albanians. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we enforced peace clearly and unequivocally. We did not steal anything. We were a foreign occupying power that went back to our base at night. You mean you're not going to come and raid and steal our women and our stuff? And we'd be like, no, we're going to go back to base. We'll be back tomorrow to help you with your farm. And they'd look at us like we were insane.
Yeah.
And eventually they figured out, wait, this isn't a scam. These strangers, they want to help us. You know, and we had a, it was, mind you, it was a primarily California National Guard. So we had a lot of lawyers, right, as senior officers.
Yes.
And we're going out, and I'm helping them set up mushroom canning factories and businesses and stuff. They're getting like $20,000 an hour of legal work for nothing, day after day after day. We're happy to do it. Americans are nice people.
Yes.
One of the big problems there, I'll tell you a story, you'll appreciate it. The commanding general, Bill Wade, calls me up, says, Colonel Schlichter, I need you in my office. I'm like, I got to solve a problem. I was his problem-solving colonel. Mm-hmm. So I walk in, sir, what's up? He goes, there's something going on at the post office. Can you go down there and unscrew it? Roger, sir. I'll go figure out what's going on, fix it, and come back and tell you. Now, our guys would go out on patrol, regular guys, mobilized civilians mostly, and they get in their vehicles, and they go patrol the area, the machine guns and Humvees and stuff, to make sure, you know, president's patrols know, so nobody caused trouble, right? You don't want to cause trouble. There's two infantry battalions in your area. Well, they would roll by schools, and being American soldiers, you know, they would say, well, we're gonna stop here and see what's up. Bye, honey. So they would get out and they would see these kids didn't have chairs or paper or stuff and everything. So they would write back to America and say, hey, there's a school on our patrol route and they need stuff. So they'd write to churches and clubs and families. I walk into the freaking post office, which is basically two guys in a small room that just handled our mail.
Yeah.
And it's to the rafters with boxes. I'm like, Specialist Jones, what the hell's going on here? And he says, sir, we keep getting these boxes from America. I'm like, what are they? They want stuff for the schools and the kids.
Oh,
that's great.
We were overwhelmed by the response of not only our soldiers, but the American people.
Yes.
They're total strangers. Have you guys ever met an Albanian? I never had until I got there. Yeah. I didn't know an Albanian from a Serbian, from a Dervish. Yeah. We had Dervish. I didn't know these guys, and I didn't care. We went in and said, hey, these are people who need help. Let's help them. And they were like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. The Americans not only don't mess with us, they go out of our way to help us, and we don't have anything to give to them.
Yes.
Very grateful. I mean, that's Americans at their best.
Amen. 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 I love that.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to switch another little sidelight. You mentioned,
all right, I only got a few more minutes.
Okay.
You got me dragged away for dinner.
So you touched on universities. What's your problem with universities as they exist today?
They're full of communists. They don't provide real value. They become indoctrination factories. And it was like that 40 years ago. When I went to UC San Diego, a lot of communist teachers. But I was able to learn to write. I wrote, you know, I went and I got on the comedy newspaper. I started writing there. I got on the Republican or conservative paper. I got an internship working in Congress. I had a lot of fun in college, and it developed me socially in ways I hadn't developed before. And I remember some of the classes, you know, you talk about proportional representation electoral systems. I know them because I went to Aaron Lippert's proportional representation class. I was still exposed to nonsense. But I got a lot out of it. I don't see some students getting a lot out of this other than misguided notions implanted in their heads. They're coming out with a ton of debt, like a millstone around their neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're a kid coming out of school with $250,000, I'm trying to figure out when my net worth exceeded $250,000. Right. And it was a long time after college.
Right.
Okay, it took a while to start building up something. Imagine if I had that and how that would have stunted my... No wonder people can't get married till they're 35. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't get a house. Yeah. I've still got, you know, $120,000 in debt. That's a ton of money.
Yes.
All right, that's a lot of money. Yeah. And for what? Mm-hmm. A degree you probably don't need. Plus, you know, now that we have AI, all these people going in getting computer science degrees, learning to code, AI is going to code better than you ever will. Sorry.
Absolutely.
So it's economically inefficient. Mm-hmm. It is technologically inefficient. There is so much knowledge out there on the interwebs that you could construct a curriculum to get yourself the knowledge you need. Mm-hmm. You know, most of my knowledge didn't come from classes. I told you the one thing that I remember. Most of the knowledge came from me reading stuff on my own.
Yeah, there you go.
Hunger. They taught you to think. No, they really didn't. No, I did that on my own.
Yeah. You know, speaking of thinking there, I know there's one question some folks going to ask me. I was expecting to hear from Difference, but they just thought your opinion, as the president brought the message on voter fraud and facts and things going into motion. I know there's a lot, but just kind of an opinion. How do you see this coming together as we're looking at it? Is there any insight for people that show that listen tonight?
I think there is significant voter fraud in the United States, and it is unsustainable. It is also a big part of the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
It is a look, the spotlight's on it, and it's going to get wound down. You cannot preserve this kind of obvious unfairness. 80% of Americans want voter ID. 20% don't because they think that'll let them cheat. That's unsustainable over time. Is the SAVE Act going to get passed? Probably not this session. Yeah. Is something like it going to get passed in the next few years? Almost certainly.
Okay. Yeah.
Racist policies.
Exactly.
Some of my favorite videos are people going up to black folks walking along on a street going, "Do you have ID?" And the folks are like,
"What the hell?
Of course I have. Like, are you sick? Are you
off the head?
Why wouldn't I have ID?" It's just embarrassing.
There it is. Absolutely.
Anybody have a thought? So we'll have to watch. Kurt, he's got to get that dinner.
All right.
So glad he's here. Anybody?
I got my 4 points. Sorry, I'm good.
Did you? And I know the audience. If we ever did this live, there'd be so many callings. We'd never get you out of there.
All right.
Anybody have a thought they want to share, Paul? Any thought?
No, I was gone for a while. I'm sorry, I had some technical problems, but I don't know what I missed. I'm sorry I missed it, Kurt. So I was enjoying having you on the program.
I know. I was like, he doesn't care what I have to say.
I care greatly. I'm the one who takes the notes.
He's subscribed.
I appreciate your optimism. I find it really difficult in a negative world. The world's not negative. The world is not neutral. We have to push.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you said about Christians. You know, we somehow or other we have allowed the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, to be in the wheelhouse. And I think that there are times we've got to stand up, got to be counted, not be afraid, not be ashamed. And this is who we are. And I appreciate your candidness. You know, it's good.
Yeah. Well, look, sometimes you've got to kick over the money changers' tables.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? That's right. I remember something. Look, the idea that Jesus was some sort of sandal wearing communist from Sausalito.
Yeah. Sausalito. Did you get that, Steph?
Who's keeping notes about your good deeds? That's not. Look, again, not a theologian, not particularly good Christian, but, you know, even I know that's not quite right.
That's it. Oh, man. Well, we'll get you some of the cards.
Okay, Kurt, I'm going to steal that one. Let me write that down now. Stand the word.
Yeah, we We're just really blessed. We got people that listen around the world, Kurt, and we're real excited to hear you tonight. I'm going to not keep you because I know you've got time to get to. I'm going to ask Ron here in a minute just to pray for you. And if that's okay with you, we're going to pray for you. We want to put
use all the help I can get.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And for your family. And all I want to say is, being a lawyer, a man of few words, I know. Being a pastor, we run too much sometimes. So thank you, sir. You are a blessing, and we thank God for you and your family. And you are always in our prayers. And we're going to close out tonight. And Ron, how about lift him up? Let's pray protection and help for Kurt.
I will indeed. I won't do the Baptist version.
You know?
Right. I was a Methodist. I'm not sure we even have Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Oh, God, we again thank you for your great love for us and how you reveal yourself to us, but also, Lord, reveal ourselves to us and make us aware of our need for you. Thank you for our brother and, Lord, the task you're giving him as a warrior for truth and for common sense. We pray, Lord, that you continue to move him, point him in the right direction, give him clear insight and vision. But also, Lord, we pray that you will protect him mightily in the midst of this dark world that hates the truth, that hates light, that hates even common sense. Pray that you would continue to use him and touch others and educate others by him. And then in, Lord, we will glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll always be watching for you. No one ever goes on. You got part of your Raising Expectation family be praying for you, lifting you up whenever you get up to do anything, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, remember to turn to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and read about what we're doing. We could use your help. Anytime you want to give a gift, a donation there, we sure could use it. Stephanie's the good one on giving this. Hey, Stephanie, do a quick reel. Just say we're going to close in prayer. He gets to have dinner. We're going to say bye.
Well, Kale kind of did it. So everything you need to know, stay connected, listen, is at bbsradio.com/raising expectations, including how you can give and share this show. So we thank you for all the different ways that you guys support and keep us on the air.
Amen. And go to that website, because next week there'll be a full write-up and everything with Kurt's picture and the story of what happened tonight. You'll want to be sharing this there. There's the website again, and just peruse there. There's a new website coming up too. You're going to see that pretty soon also. A lot of good things. Kurt's name is on the list. Those are all the people. We're on the air now 6 years, and people all over, but so many of them have blessed so many in so many ways. So, Kurt, there's your books. You are on our website. As you can see, all your books and everything, they're all there. So we direct people when they text us, and we just say, hey, go right here and check it out. We'll send you a copy of everything from tonight, so you'll have the press release and all that stuff on this.
Oh, thank you.
We're just family. We're just us. I mean, you got a lot of things you do that has all this huge coverage, but we cover you in our prayer, and that's pretty powerful. We'll be continuing to bless your family also. Thanks for that prayer, Ron. All right, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you and keep you. And, hey, it's great to be in the family of God, and it's great to be in the United States of America as citizens. Let's do our part serving the Lord. Let's do our part serving each other as great American citizens. And may you bless our nation as it moves forward through all these things. Keep the light shining and help us, Lord, keep our eyes on what we're doing and to love others as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you later, Kurt. Take care.
Bless you,
thanks.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it.
Before you leave the moment, before the day moves on, carry one bright promise. The hope is not gone. From Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield, and the voices gathered here, Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, Dr. Paul Hart.